Support for UpToDate is provided by Geisinger, providing world-class care for our community, here where it matters.
Hello and happy Friday. Welcome to UpToDate from WVIA News. I'm Sarah Cinto, here to catch you up before the weekend with all the news you should know about. Today, hear from Northeast Pennsylvania residents who were part of this week's royal visit to Washington, D.C. And meet another local nonprofit in this week's Community Connection. It's Friday, May 1st. Let's get you up to date. Let's start off today with our region's connections to one of this week's biggest national stories. Britain's King Charles III and Queen Camilla on Thursday wrapped up a four-day state visit to the U.S. to mark the 250th anniversary of American independence. Their tour will leave lasting memories with some Northeast Pennsylvania residents, as WVIA's Roger Dupuy explains.
King Charles's address to a joint meeting of Congress this week earned applause and ovations from both sides of the aisle, an opinion shared by representatives and guests from Northeast Pennsylvania. Republican Congressman Rob Bresnahan from Luzerne County was among those attending the speech.
I think our two countries share a very special relationship that, while was definitely rocky to begin with 250 years ago, we've developed into a strong bond rooted in democracy and economic partnership. So having him here was certainly one of the rare occasions of bipartisanship that cuts across party lines and foreign allies, national security, and shared democratic values.
Congressman Dan Muser, a fellow Luzerne County Republican, shook the king's hand afterward and told Charles he thought the monarch's address was, quote, very well received.
I think His Majesty the King came in and delivered a very strong, compelling speech.
The day before the speech, Charles and Camilla were welcomed to the United States with a garden party at the British ambassador's residence in Washington. Virginia McGregor of Scranton was a guest. She is Democratic National Committee treasurer and a member of the America 250 Pennsylvania Commission.
We are very grateful to have been included in it. It was nice that it was such a bipartisan crowd.
Roger Dupuy, WVIA News.
Thanks, Roger. Find more of this story at WVIA.org. Also at WVIA.org, readers in Lackawanna and Lycoming counties will have opportunities to support libraries and local authors over the next couple of weeks. The Valley Community Library's annual Books Appetit fundraiser is up first on May 7th, with music, food, drinks, and raffle prizes on deck at the library in Peckville. Then on May 15th, Lycoming Arts will hold its second Storytellers Book Fair, featuring 17 regional authors, presentations, a book swap, and more. Find more details in this week's eventful feature, also at WVIA.org. Stay with us. There's more Up to Date after this break.
I'm Kat Bolas from the WVIA News Team. Let us meet you where you are. Find us on air on WVIA Radio, online at WVIA.org, or on the WVIA app.
Welcome back. One last thing for this week. It's time for Community Connection with WVIA's Lisa Mazzarella.
Our community connection is in Exeter, Luzerne County, where Amy Feldman, president and CEO of Northeast Site Services, sheds new light on a century-old nonprofit in our region. Amy Feldman takes the story from here.
In 1918, on November 8th, there was a young woman named Arlene Phillips who was blind herself, and she got a group of individuals together with the mission that she wanted to have blind people help themselves. So from that came what eventually turned into the Greater Wilkes-Barre Association for the Blind. So Arlene and her cohorts went from home to home teaching Braille, independent living skills, and all of the things that we now, as Northeast Sight Services, carry on 100 plus years later.
100 years have gone by, things have changed, there are new technologies and so forth. So even though you are carrying on the legacy, what has changed in as far as methods and modes and different types of programs?
Yeah, I mean, our mission is still the same, essentially, to help individuals that are blind or visually impaired remain as independent as possible through the services that we offer. What we do now is something very similar, depending on what an individual needs. When they contact us or an eye doctor sends us a referral, we will contact the individual. We will go out to their home, kind of see how they're living, what their challenges are with their visual impairment, what they want to be doing and they can't be, what they're doing really well, and kind of develop a game plan from there. We also connect them with other organizations that might be of assistance. Obviously, if they were a veteran, or transportation tends to be a very large issue for our clients. So connecting them with the different transportation authorities within their area, aging, if that's something that they need, Meals on Wheels, the Library for the Blind, all sorts of different organizations. We work really well with the state agency, which is the Bureau of Blindness and Visual Services. And then once we have that game plan in place, we kind of go from there. So if they need us to come out to their home, we will, to help them with writing out checks and paying bills, filling out forms, essentially being their eyes for them, and we'll do that as often as they need. We also do a lot of social and recreational programs for our clients. So we really like to get our clients out of their homes and interacting with other individuals who are dealing with some of the same challenges that they are, you know, just really building that peer network of support for clients of all ages. It's so important for them to know that they're not alone and they're not the only person that's dealing with vision loss. It's definitely that peer network of support, and it's definitely learning from each other.
Tell me about some of the programs that you offer and perhaps have been modified.
The technology has changed greatly. There's these high-powered magnifiers that could really be a game changer for somebody in terms of independence. iPhones and iPads have a level of accessibility that's incredible. Different apps that are available on them. There's bill readers, so you know what your money is. So we always try to find avenues so that individuals can get them into their hands. Because like I said, they can really be just game changers in terms of independence, in terms of being able to see. So anything that we can do to help somebody achieve that level of independence, we're doing our best to make it happen. You really form bonds with them, and I'm proud to be able to help them.
Special thanks to Amy Feldman, President and CEO of Northeast Sight Services in Exeter, Luzerne County. Forthcoming plans for the nonprofit include extending services to Upper Luzerne County, as well as parts of Wayne and Pike counties. If you'd like some more details about specific programs that Northeast Sight Services provides, we invite you to hear the entire story on our podcast at wvia.org/community. For WVIA's Community Connection, I'm Lisa Mazzarella.
All right, I hope you're feeling up to date and ready for the weekend. Find more stories at WVIA.org. I'm Sarah Cinto. Thanks for listening this week. We're back on Monday, so make sure you subscribe and tune in so you don't miss anything. Have a great weekend, everyone. I'll catch you next week, right here on Up to Date.